Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot, broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Poppy Evil. It is, well, it's Muckin' Fun Day, 22nd day of May. Man, that don't seem possible. 1 month from now, it will be the longest day of the year. And if the days will start getting shorter again, this time thing is out of control. It's May 22nd, sure enough, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. And, this is messed up. Laura reprinted it. And you'll have to hit *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Oh, JD. Yeah, she messed it up. She should have left my old one up here. Thanks, Laura. Anyway, it's currently 73 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 80 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's a summer day, man, and I got no complaints about the weather. Just about the time. The time is killing me, man. I hate this. The days take, the days are just forever long. The weeks go by like a snap. The months go by like a snap. And the years are going by like a snap. I mean, there's something amiss here. We're going to try and figure it out as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just a conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty, the chicken shit time. I mean, it's crazy. 3 years today since Digger Dan died. It's just unbelievable. I mean, like I said, the days just seem like they grind on. I mean, it's just one day into the next. You don't even see the days going by. Yeah, because it's so long, goddamn long. And then the weeks are just, I just looked up in the X's, man, on the calendar. And, man, the time flies by. It is now 3 years since our brother Digger Dan left us for what has to be a better place. The passage of time is mind-blowing as the present is devoured and put into the past. There are often subjects that arise in the trenches that make me wonder what Dan's comment would have been. Dan was a unique man and stood out among his contemporaries. I hope Dan is faring well wherever his spirit lies, and look forward to our conversations when I see him again on the other side. Dan's death was unexpected, and there are a lot of questions I would have liked to have asked him. Today, when all the work is done, if that ever comes, I will raise a glass in salute of my brother, Digger Dan, and all of you trenchers are welcome to join me. God bless the Republic. Death to the international corporate mafia. We, the free nationals of the United States of these Americas, shall prevail. And again, man, I mean, 3 years. 3 years, man. You know, the spring is so awesome. You know, right now we got blooms on the apple trees and what might have you. It's just always been, I've never really gotten the right feeling out of spring, I don't think. And, you know, in your younger days, when you're a kid, I guess spring's awesome. But when you get a little older than spring, you know, it's just like that's one of most of the fights I think I've ever been in has been in the springtime for some reason. You just get, you know, everything that's been pissing you off for a long time. It's, well, the sun's out. Let's go take care of it. But at any rate, man, we need to write a real strong petition to somebody about this time thing and get it straightened out because it's getting pretty aggravating. Colorado governor pardons felon to stave off deportation. Shit, you talk about stuff that just piss you off one thing after another. Why not? I mean, God, you look at this country of ours. What we were sold as a bill of goods growing up, you know, do well, try hard, and man, you just live in the most wonderful country in the world, freedom and liberty, and you got your heroes over there and all these countries shooting the hell out of people to keep you free and keep your Bill of Rights and keep your Constitution. It's just wonderful. This is from Washington Times. Colorado's governor on Friday pardoned a Cuban immigrant for an armed robbery he committed 19 years ago in an effort to stave off the man's deportation after immigration authorities detained him following a judge's ruling that he should no longer be in prison. And this is just going to steam. I mean, I started reading this. I'm pretty mad. And I keep reading. The more I read it, it just, goddamn, you sons of bitches. What you do to American nationals over nothing. I mean, the people being held in prisons are for victimless crimes or for using drugs or what might have you. Nobody's been harmed. But, you know, they look out for these sons of bitches, these third worlders. We watched us, I'm sure we've all watched Scarface, and we've seen, and that was what that Cuban invasion was all about. You know, all their drudges, their psychos, their drug dealers, everything. They dumped them off on our goddamn shore, and they wreaked havoc in this country. And then you turn around, and goddamn, who's important in this country? It is not the people who can trace their lineage back to the beginning, the people who own this country. They're the ones they want to kill. It's the goddamn dredges of other people's societies that are being heaped on us. The pardon from Governor John Hickenlooper, that communist piece of trash that needs a hemp rope party, he needs to be tried. He needs to be convicted of the treason that he is blatantly guilty of, and then he needs to be hung by the neck until dead, dead, dead. A Democrat was the latest twist in the saga of Rene Lamar Marin, 38. He came to the United States as a toddler as part of the 1980 Morrell boat lift from Cuba and had legal residency until it was revoked following his 2000 criminal conviction. Lima Marin was sentenced to 98 years in prison for the robbery, but he was mistakenly paroled from Colorado State Prison in 2008. And you think, well, goddamn, when they figured that one out, they go grab this guy up and, hey, the minimum. I mean, if he just walked on about 90 years of his goddamn sentence, or how many did he serve here? Let's see. Da-da-da-da, 1980 boat lift. Let's see. 19 years, so it would take 19 off of 98, and you'd have about 70 years that he owes the people who he committed his crime against. 98 years, it seems like a hell of a long time. But at any rate, you know, here it's Cuban. You know, here's this son of a bitch. He comes to your country, and I guarantee you the goodies were handed out to him all of his life. I mean, he came here as a child. So, you know, he was we paid for his education. I guarantee you we paid for his housing, his food, everything. And then he goes and commits a criminal act. And, you know, what I'm getting at here is I think about all the people that are in prison that shouldn't be. Like I said, you know, people doing time over a pound of marijuana or Like I said, any victimless crime, bad checks, you know, the $300-$200 or $1,200, but it's felony level checks. And there are people doing life in prison for three goddamn checks because you don't steal from the Jews. Evidently, these weren't Jews that this guy stole from. Mema Marin had a child and got, let's see, where were we? I missed that something here. Cuba and had legal residency until it was revoked in 2000. His criminal conviction, Lima Marin, was sentenced to 98 years in prison for robbery, but he was mistakenly paroled from Colorado State Prison in 2008. Let's see how this mistake was dealt with. Lima Marin married, had a child, and got a steady job installing glass before state authorities realized their mistake in 2014 and sent him back for the remainder of his 98 years prison sentence, which is goddamn exactly what they'd have done to us if they hadn't killed us, taken us into custody, right? So that's the end of it, right? He's going back to prison to serve his time. Wrong. A Colorado judge earlier this week ordered Lima Marin released from state prison, saying it would be draconian to keep him incarcerated. But before he could return to his family, immigration authorities picked him. Oh, I mean, this is just so wrong for this man. Surely it was just some kind of mistake. It was just like there was no victims involved in this robbery is what I'm getting at here. There couldn't have been. Because, I mean, for this to be a draconian act, I mean, come on. Authorities picked him up citing a still active deportation order in 2000, from 2000. His lawyer said a pardon was his only chance to stave off deportation. Now, you put yourself in his shoes. As an American national, what would be the chances of you getting a pardon from the governor? Just what, 10 zillion to none? No, it wouldn't even be talked about. You wouldn't have an attorney. I mean, this son of a bitch from another country, no doubt, has a whole goddamn law firm. Because, I mean, we're paying big bucks to make sure they have the finest legal representation that our money can buy. In this admiralty courts where justice doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with it, it's about promoting international communism. And a lot of them Cubans that came over here were international communists. Lema Marin's case has become a bipartisan cause celebre. That's what it says, celebre, in Colorado, whatever the hell that means. As 98 members of the, you know, that's kind of, I thought that was weird, the same number of years he was supposed to do in prison. As 98 members of the state assembly, Democrats and Republicans called on Hickenlooper to grant his clemency. Though the legal roots of Lima Marin's, remember, there was some guy, man, what the hell was it? It was a while back, but he was an American. And I mean, like, it'd been like 50 years since he escaped, I can't remember exactly what it was. I wish I could find that article. But this guy, I mean, he'd lived a life. I mean, he was a grandfather. He had a house and everything. You know what? His ass went back to goddamn prison, and he'll spend the rest of his life there. He'll die there. But then he's just an American national. He's not one of these important people from another fucking country in our country. Oh, let's see. State Assembly Democrats and Republicans called on Hickenlooper to grant his clemency, though the legal roots of Lima Marin's deportation order stretch back to the actions of the Obama administration. His detention comes as the Trump administration has moved aggressively to speed up deportations, sometimes sparking clashes with local officials. This was a question of justice, and oh man, can't you just see it, people? If you've been out here in the real world like I have, if you're a trencher and you've experienced their justice, man, you know how it's so deeply rooted in them, how their conscience must bother them, and they want to do the right thing. This is a question of justice, Hickenlooper told an afternoon news conference. This was a pretty clear example of someone who's done all the work necessary to earn a second chance. Like I said, that one guy, man, I think he escaped when he was like in his, I'm thinking in his 30s or 20s, and he was like in his 70s. By God, he went back to prison. No thought about no governor. The guy owned a house, had a family, grandchildren, everything. Fuck you, American national. You're not no Cuban. What makes you think? What do you think? You're Ted Cruz? It's unclear whether the governor's action will be enough to stop Lima Marin's deportation. I'm not a lawyer, Hickenlooper said, when asked whether the pardon would be enough. District Attorney George Brockler, is what it looks like, whose office prosecuted Limmerman, said Hickenlooper did not give prosecutors time to review the pardon application as required by state law. The hasty decision to ignore state law was made seemingly to skirt federal law, and that is not an appropriate use of the governor's pardon power, said Brockler. Rochner is what it looks like. Man, where do you get these names? Who is running for governor? Carl Rusnak, a spokesman for ICE, indicated that Hickenlooper's pardon would not be enough to stop the deportation. Renee Michelle Lemarin currently has final orders of removal from a federal immigration judge, he said in a statement. Hans Meyer, Lima Marin's lawyer, said he'd file motions to vacate the order. And I mean, like, again, if you were in prison like this, I'm telling you, your lawyer would be like, boy, it's real tough, and there ain't a damn thing nobody can do about this. You're just convicted. That's all there is to it. You're going to have to serve out the sentence. Even if you were completely innocent and you came up with new evidence, I think it was Scalia on the Supreme Court that said that he really believed that even if you came up with new evidence to show that you were completely innocent, that if you were convicted through the process and the process was perpetrated correctly, then you should just stay in prison. I swear, this is the truth. You can look it up. That's what it would be for you and me. But, I mean, there is some kind of a special notion out here for people around the world that aren't us in our country, don't you think? We're incredibly grateful to the governor for a just and fair solution, he said. This is a tremendous step, first step. Of course it is. And, hey, you know what, get this guy back and we can pay him off. I mean, for the time that he's been put out since, you know, having to go through these incarcerations for being, being set up for deportation. We should give him, you know, $1 million, I think, and, you know, put him back in his life and try to make things right with him. But Jason Kasperik, the assistant manager at the Blockbuster video store that Lima Marin and an accomplice robbed in 1998, said Lima Marin should be back in prison. Here's your victim. Here's the person that had to endure this son of a bitch. And now that, you know, because, you know, he's from Cuba, and he needs a better life. He needs a better life than you. He needs your life. If he had to kill you to get a better life, it's for him, and it's really a good thing for you. I just think that it's scandalous how he used the system, Kasperik said of Lima Marin, recalling how the robbers held a rifle to his head as they forced him to open the store safe. I think it's completely ridiculous. It's unjust for all victims who have been involved in it. The Blockbuster was one of two video stores that Lima Marin and his accomplice, Michael Clifton, robbed. They were convicted on multiple robbery, kidnapping, and burglary counts. Clifton is still in prison serving his 98-year sentence. This is not Lima Marin's first time in immigration detention, though Trump has ordered immigration authorities to step up their enforcement of deportation orders. Lima Marin's legal jeopardy actually stems from changes made by Obama. I'm sorry. After his 2008 parole, immigration authorities held Lima Marin for 180 days, but at the time, Cuba would not accept any additional people who had arrived on the Morrell boat lift. I wouldn't think they'd want any of them back. They took their goddamn, they went and emptied out the psych wards and the hardcore prisoners and dumped them on us people. I would imagine no more than Honduras wants MS-13 gang members back. This is such bullshit up on top of bullshit. Arrived on the Morrell boat lift as deportees. As a result, Lima Marin was released. He continued to check with immigration authorities regularly, said his wife, Jasmine. But when Obama in January ended the wet foot, dry foot policy that had protected Cuban immigrants who arrived from the island, it opened the door to additional Cubans from the Morrell boat lift to be deported. We got to change that. This son of a bitch, this is an important man here. I mean, this is like Jesus Christ on earth here, man. This guy here, what did he really do? He robbed a couple of video stores and held a gun to somebody's head and robbed their safe and kidnapped some people. God damn it, we want justice for this man. Disgusting people. Texas judge suspended after officials find out she's not a U.S. citizen. Can it get better? This is from Gateway Pundit, sent in by Paul for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. A Texas judge was recently paced. Let's just start out here. A Texas judge was recently placed on unpaid leave after it was discovered she was not a U.S. citizen. She isn't in jail? What in the goddamn hell would happen to you or me? If we, Judge Young Min Burkett has 90 days to become a citizen. Well, I'm sure that the goddamn Texas, who's the governor there, is that, I'm sure they'll all get together and they'll make her a citizen in time, get her back to work, and she'll have her little paid vacation there and be right back on the bench, evidently seeing over a system of laws that she has no goddamn clue about. I mean, isn't that breaking the law? She may keep her job after lying about her citizenship for years. Of course she will. These are important people from other countries. Every decision she made should be vacated. I mean, she should be put in prison for fraud. It's just like, the argument is going to be, in this article, she didn't know no better. And she was a judge? She was judging the law? But she didn't know no better. So we got to, my God, people. How in the hell do we keep enduring this? How many times did she lie on an application to become a judge in the state of Texas? ? And she gets to keep her job? Well, evidently, you don't understand. This isn't your country. This is some kind of a goddamn abomination of what this country was supposed to be. Her rulings will stand. I said it. Her rulings, you think that it ain't all the way gone, people? What's left? Somebody needs to call up and straighten my ass out. I want to know what the hell's left. Her rulings will stand. You can't make this shit up. And this article says stuff up, but it looks like shit to me. Waco Trib reported, officials in South Texas have placed a municipal court judge on unpaid leave after it was discovered she's not a U.S. citizen. You think she didn't know that? And you can say, well, she just did. She was just a real dumb, retarded person who didn't realize that you can't be a judge in this country. I mean, this is somebody who's going to be judging the law. Think about this, people. The shit they're trying to sell in this sandwich. Corpus Christi Mayor Pro Tem Lucy Rubio told the Campus Christi Caller Times that Judge Young Min Burkett was placed on leave for 90 days, 3 month paid vacation, with the intention that will be enough time for her to obtain citizenship. I guess, it's just make a phone call. I mean, we're not really running any kind of a system with rules. It's just that if you're an American national, you not only get out of line, get down there at the goddamn ditch and take your bullet in your head, because this isn't your country anymore. Again, I mean, if there was the smallest little discrepancy in something that you and I did, this is fraud. This is it. And you can say, well, she didn't know she was a foreigner. She's judging your goddamn law. There's people coming in front of her. She's making judicial decisions. And she doesn't know that it's against the law to be a judge in a country you're not a citizen of? People. Rubio says that city never asked during the qualification process to become a municipal judge whether Burkett was a citizen, and says Burkett never tried to deceive or misinterpret her background. Maybe that's what they wanted. I mean, down in California, you got them serving on juries. You got them, a legal alien here. You're here, and once it's discovered and you stay here, isn't that a felony? But for any of you mush-minded morons out there that think that there's some kind of paper solution to this problem we're up against here, I would suggest you think again. You can say, we need an honest court. Well, in what country? In this country? And what kind of person is going to be? You don't even have to be a goddamn citizen to be sitting there judging our fucking citizens, people. That was someone from another country handing down judicial decisions to American nationals. Think about that. And it's okay with these son of a bitches. They all need to be, I'm telling you, right, which just what happened here, because they knew the trial, if you had a trial in a real fucking court, they would, I would go, and I guarantee you, I could convince 12 people to hang every son of a bitch in one of them. Slow. But that's not what's going to happen here, is it? No, she's going to get a 90-day vacation, and bam, to bang, you know, somebody's going to make some phone calls, and she's going to be a citizen. Hell, you can buy, you know, you, if you're a Chinese woman, you can come over here, $80,000. They'll put you up in a hotel, have a doctor ready for you, so you can dump your fucking kid in my country and claim a part of my inheritance. That's what this country has come to. These, I mean, anybody, I mean, even you people who think that you're going to go boat your way out of this, that somehow there's going to be some kind of honest little thing go on and everything's going to straighten out. You imbecile cowards is all you are. You're just cowards. You Trumpers, you're cowards. Face it. Better you go. Well, I would say blow your own brains out, but you're cowards. You ain't got the guts to do that. When we finally have to straighten this mess out, people, we can show no mercy on these son of a bitches and the son of a bitches that went along with them. We can't. I mean, who? I mean, in my wildest dreams, I could have never imagined that I would be reading shit like this. I'm pinching myself. Am I asleep? Is this a goddamn? Is this a dream? Texas judge suspended after officials find out she's not from the country. A 90-day paid vacation to give her time to be a citizen. I mean, you talk about ex post facto law. It was a crime. I mean, everybody who went in front of this person is supposed to have judicial authority over American nationals. I don't care if it is a municipal court judge. You still have judicial power. And you're not even a citizen. And you can't say, well, we didn't know that was wrong. And you're judging law? Really? I'd like to know how that works. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just a conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Scrumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through SaferTrebellion.com.
Let me down, Nelson. No, I don't want to fix you up tight. But if you're in the corner and you can't find me,
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1236 Pacific Time, and that was Nazareth. Expect no mercy, and don't expect any mercy. My God, you know, we've got the wound, you know, and we've made the wound, and we've irritated it with a stick. Now we'll throw some salt. And, you know, I was listening to the Intel report this morning, and George from Texas came up. And George, I mean, you know, we got to get them Sunday law, you know, the blue laws back. The stores are open on Sunday, and we need that, you know, the Sunday's day rest. And Mark agreed with him, of course. Now, you know, the goddamn, these blue laws were the original infringements that opened the door for everything else. It is a violation of the Bill of Rights. You can't tell nobody what they can fucking do on Sunday or any other day of the week. Otherwise, the Bill of Rights does not exist. Mark talked about setting a standard. The ones that set the standard first are going to be the ones that win this, he says. Is that the standard we're going to set? We're going for the theocracy here? I mean, when you come, there's no argument about this, people. You can't tell somebody what if they can open their store, close their store, drink, stand on their head naked in their own house on Sunday. It's none of your goddamn business. And these blue laws were this was the dirty church working with the Masonic cabal to start prying the Bill of Rights apart more and more. And then, you know, they come up and pretend that you're really for that Bill of Rights, and bullshit. You want a goddamn theocracy. It is forbidden by the first article. They hate that goddamn first article. They've hated it all along, the dirty church has. And if you can't tell somebody else how to live, damn you, you just don't want to be in this country, do you? What George needs to do, George, if you're listening, what you need to do, you need to come out of Chiloquin and force that son of a bitch on me, buddy, because until it's enforced on me, it ain't going to work. Easy to get up and run your retarded mouth. And I couldn't believe Mark. Yeah, that's, you know, the blue laws, that was a good thing, people. That, I tell you, go look at your history. That opened the door for the infringement you're living with today. A million of them. They're not for the Bill of Rights. They cannot be if they're for the blue laws. If they're for any law outside of the Bill of Rights, if there are any law that violates the Bill of Rights, that violates the common law procedure, they don't want it. And you better get it through your head that they're going to act like they want it right up until the last little bit, and then they're going to turn their guns around on you and go, no, you're going to do what my Bible says, what my interpretations tell me, that you should do it. You're going to live your life like my interpretations of the Bible tell me you should. Be careful who you join with. You know, there's a lot of people out there, man, and that have done the right thing, that have gotten ready, that have got their guns ready, that are ready to fight. And I'm telling you, I believe when the shit breaks loose, you're going to see these groups that have gathered up over the years. They're going to try and press you into their service. Admittedly, Mark's talked about their military police and the militia. And they're going to be coming around to press you into service to fight and kill for a theology that's going to rule your goddamn life. You better get it together with the people around you, and you better be ready to shoot their asses as fast as you're shooting the goddamn communists and the national socialists. Because this is like goddamn Iran after the fall of the Shah. It was 3 months of goddamn battle to decide which faction was going to take over and who took over. Oh, it's a theocracy over there, I do believe. They will force their beliefs on you. They will remove the first, well, hell, they'll remove the whole Bill of Rights. They don't need it. They got a Bible. And they got it. I mean, what pisses me off, if that's who you are and what you are, what, you won't come up and say it? You're so sure of yourself, you won't lay down your credentials and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Be ready, people. And now a little salt into that wound. Mayor, anything not permitted under law is now, and this is what the blue laws led to. The blue laws led to this. Anything not permitted under law is now banned. And that includes gardens. This is from Off the Grid News, sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Columbania, Ohio, is the largest city to debate the legality of gardens, even if the two sides can't agree on what is up for discussion. Resident Tony Dolan claims that the right to garden on a homeowner's property is at stake. There's no question here. Under the common law, you can't tell nobody what they can do on your goddamn property. But if you start out with blue laws, pretty soon you get around to where, we decided you can't grow a garden in hell. If we can just make up shit as we're going along and call it law, well, this is where it ends up, people. This is where the blue laws brought you. The last article with the bitch who's been a judge, you know, all these years and sounding down judicial decisions, ain't even from this country. This article, this is where the blue laws led you. This is where the good Christian morality of the dirty church led you. To tyranny. And they want it again. Because it's been really good for them. Homeowner's property at stake. The Columbania City Council at one point considered a proposal that would have restricted gardens to backyards. Go ahead. Did somebody want to say something?
Yeah, how's your dealing with that new governor guy or there, guy?
What new governor?
That homosexual lesbian.
You mean that bitch up there in Salem?
Yeah, who's not rightfully the governor? Who's not rightfully the governor?
No, she's not. This is, this is where your son, this is where your goddamn blue laws lead you.
You think blue laws has something to do with her?
You're goddamn right. When you open the door to infringement, when you take something that's absolute law and you make an exception, when you make that first exception, you open the door to the next exception. And pretty soon, there's exception upon exception, and pretty soon, your goddamn courts are gone. That bitch wouldn't be up there if we had the common law courts. Wouldn't be allowed. People could stop it. And that was by the blue laws. They opened the door.
Well,
are you going to tell me that something absolute, if you have an exception, you can't have two? You make one exception.
That thing shouldn't even be in there, man. That thing shouldn't be in there. How come you don't have a lieutenant governor in your constitution? What happened?
You want an education?
I read Oregon.
No. Get the Oregon Bill of Rights, and look what they've done to it. That is the complete removal of the people. The only right you have left in the state of Oregon is to create revenue for the state of Oregon. Let me see what the hell's the word I'm looking here for. It's a prison state. It is chartered as a prison state in our Bill of Rights. They've taken our Bill of Rights and made a charter for a prison state. Go read it. It doesn't have a goddamn. Our original Bill of Rights was on one page. This now our Bill of Rights is on about 22 pages or 28 pages, and it puts together a goddamn a coalition. I mean, there's three people: the governor and then Department of Human Resources. There's like three of them. They set up a corporation with your Bill of Rights. It was all facilitated by those blue laws, my friend.
Right. So I feel like,
Exactly. But, I mean, get it. I want you to get it, man, because I know you're interested. Get the Oregon Bill of Rights. Download it and read it. And tell me what happened here.
You do know that you have two constitutions in your state, don't you? In Oregon.
Well, I don't know about two constitutions. I mean, it is so far gone to even talk about the paperwork at this point, I think, is fruitless.
Gone. Oregon and Washington have two constitutions. A lot of the states in the East have like five, six, seven different constitutions. The original constitution is the legitimate one. You need to go down to your Secretary of State's office and ask for a legitimate copy of the original original and get a copy of the current one, and then compare the two, and you see what they've done to it.
I do remember when they changed the seal for the state of Oregon. The original seal showed like ships coming in off the coast, and there were Indians on the beach and on the land, and it showed the abundance of game and everything on the land. And the new one, it shows I think the ships going away and everything gone.
You look at the Carl Miller, constitutional man out of Michigan. That state has six constitutions. I was a kid living there growing up, and when they did one, I don't even remember it being talked about in school or on the news.
Mm-hmm.
They just did it inside the freaking legislature without going to the counties.
Because that's what they did. What they did up here, they had the goddamn citizens coalition or some kind of shit like that, and they started passing all these victims' rights laws. You know, you had your Bill of Rights. Everybody was protected under it. Pretty much read as like the federal Bill of Rights. But they started passing all these laws. And the end result is, I'm telling you, go read it. It's a charter. It is a charter for a police state. And in the end equation, if you know how to read a contract, and the final word of that contract is, you have one right in the state of Oregon to create revenue for the state of Oregon. That is your goddamn Bill of Rights. And it all was facilitated through the original infringements of the Bill of Rights. Something cannot be absolute if there's an exception, can it?
Yep, and I believe all the legislatures are illegitimate. You know, in 1860, or 61, there was a thing called the Lieber Code. In there it talks about we being the property of the state.
Well, I think when they put in the 14th Amendment, they had no authority to write such an amendment. There was no authority to enact any such amendment. But the bottom line here is the Bill of Rights. If the Bill of Rights and the common law was in effect right today, they could do none of this, because we as individuals, right now, we as individuals could take them into our courts and we could convict them and hang them. But because they've removed our courts, we got one option left, and that's Article 2. That's the gun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are no courts left. No. You're right.
Well, when you're talking about somebody being in a goddamn court there in Colorado, and not even you didn't even make sure they were from this country? Come on. I don't buy that for one second. The bottom line is, that standard that Mark was talking about this morning, there is no standard in this goddamn country anymore. You got a bunch of out-of-hand globalist corporations. If that's what they're doing, from one what used to be one jurisdiction to another, well, this company moves in, and next thing you know, you got a judge from another country, and that's really all right. The Bill of Rights would have protected us from it. Our procedures would have allowed us to correct it. They had, that's the first thing they did. They came after the courts. Once the goddamn courts were gone, where's the check? Them? The fox guarding the hen house? There was no checks. And it all started out with that first exception, because the Bill of Rights was intended to be absolute, and you cannot have an exception to the absolute. It's whether you want to work on Sunday. That ain't the point. The point is you couldn't make the law, and you couldn't enforce it, because it was a seizure of the person in violation of the fourth article. You're seizing them on Sunday. You're telling you can't go out and work on Sunday. That's a seizure. Telling you can't drink on Sunday. That's a seizure. You're seizing my person and holding me at your will. And that's what people don't understand. It comes down to that Bill of Rights and that ninth article every time. If it were in effect, the ninth article says you can't create anything that violates these rights. And that's all they've done. And they started out with the blue laws. You know, the congregations at the church, you know, like, well, I wish it would be better if we didn't have people walking around drinking on Sundays. That's a good idea. And the Lord said somewhere in there, you know, that you shouldn't drink on Sundays. So that should be it. That's it. Law. Uh-uh. That ain't how it works. There's no victim. When you're taking somebody to jail for one of these sundry things, there's no victim. There's no corpus delicti required under the Bill of Rights. And the reason they put these in is it was easy to sell from the pulpit. You had the dirty church working with the Masonic cabal to start whittling away at the Bill of Rights. The first time it happened, the first time somebody suggested, we're not gonna allow drinking in town on Sundays. Really? Yeah. Well, how about a hanging on Sunday? How's that work for you, buddy? You cannot call something absolute if there's an exception to it, and there's nothing but exceptions now to our Bill of Rights. How our courts have been removed. I mean, the goddamn War Powers Act is real. It's happening. We're under martial law. We've been for goddamn since 1933.
I think it's earlier than that.
Well, 1913, more like it, probably. 18, I think with 18, Wilson, 18, you did, yeah.
1860s, martial law.
Oh, well, yeah, you go clear back to the goddamn original time when Lincoln declared martial law. He had no authority to.
None.
There was no authority for him.
And let him do it. That means they took over and infiltrated our Congress, Yep. I mean, it was just totally gone at that time. And the only ones that were against it were the ones that seceded. So, hey, we've had enough of this. It's over. You know, we're going back to the Articles of Confederation. That way you can't pass laws very easily. You know, you have to have 100% yes.
Yeah. Or no. Now, the people from the South said, we're going back to no exception, and they killed them for it. Because that's the whole idea, the whole thing of that war was, look at if you want to know what that war was about, it wasn't about slavery. It was about taking over the people. It was a coup over the people's authority is what it was. That's what the 14th Amendment says to me. I can read.
A new kind of slavery.
You goddamn right.
Oh, yeah, no better slave than the one who believes he's free. You know, they got control of the educational system. That's the problem right now.
Oh, Henry, it's Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. I have a question for you. I was talking to somebody about it over the weekend, and I thought, well, I'll ask Henry about it. Okay, it's concerning car insurance. Now, it's mandated by the state. You have a car, you have to have insurance, otherwise you get busted. Well, anyway, so how would that work since the roads are public highways? Now, say, for instance, a teenager gets in a car and she wrecks somebody's car, you know, injures somebody, and there's no insurance that's mandated. How does that get resolved?
Well, then you sue her daddy and mommy. It's that simple. They're responsible for her until she's 18 years old.
Let's say they're 21, they're 30 years old. So what do you do? And they don't have anything that you can actually, you know, get to compensate the injury or the death or whatever.
Well, I mean, it would be up to the jury. You could ask the jury for anything. Hell, you could chain them to a tree and make them chop wood for you for 50 years. I mean, you could make a punishment. Believe me. It could be, you know, an open judgment in the common law. And they might not have no money now, but if they ever made any, they're going to have to give it to you.
Right.
You know, right? And if you wanted, you know, a punishment, if it was a negligence, you know, like they were being goofy and killed one of your relatives, you could most definitely, like I said, I want them chained to a tree. I want them chopping wood for 20 years. And just the jury says it, it's done.
How did we survive without insurance for all those years before they had insurance?
Right.
Yeah, I do too.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Well, in that case, the jury could rule, okay, this guy has to carry insurance from now on. I mean,
No, they couldn't. No, you can't. No, because that would be ex post facto, you know, saying that you're punishing him for something that might happen in the future. You can only get him for what he done.
No, I'm saying get him for what he done, but then that's part of his punishment. That if he's irresponsible, he has to carry insurance.
If he's done something like that, I got to believe I wouldn't want him out on the road. I'd want him chained to a tree chopping wood.
Well, maybe the jury wants that. I'm just saying that don't make everybody carry insurance when, you know, just...
They can't make everybody carry insurance. That is a seizure of your property once again. They're seizing a portion of your property and telling you we're going to give it to this insurance agent over here without due process of the law. There was no complaint filed. There was no action through the court leading to a verdict that said you had to do that. The thing is, what people don't understand, they can't tell you to do nothing. And even in the common law, you can't be told to do nothing unless that process is followed by the letter.
You have a monopoly here where you are a captive customer, like it or not.
There you go.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
they make a lot of money on Wall Street with that money, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, this person was saying it's kind of a gray area because they were public roads, and how would you compensate somebody that... You know, but anyway, like you said, it would be up to the jury. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, Katie, take the car out of the equation. What if somebody's just walking down the road, picking up rocks and winging them just vicariously out through the trees and stuff and hit somebody in the head? I mean, they try to pigeonhole you with things like that because it's a car. It doesn't have to be a car to hurt somebody. Wherever you travel in your life under the common law, you're going to be responsible. And again, check this out. If we weren't being robbed of our resources 110%, there would be nobody who couldn't cover whatever they did. We're rich people, believe it or not. There would be no poor people who couldn't afford to, you know, take care of their own problems. And you'd have something to guard actually going down that road because you would have a hell of an inheritance to guard. You'd be taken care of.
That's a good point. Yeah. Huh.
It always comes back. It's just so simple. I mean, they laid it out so simple for us. And the public roads were there for our conveyance. I mean, like I was saying before, you know, a runaway horse before there was cars. I mean, they tried to get everybody, just like when they want to talk about guns, they want to talk about, well, you know, people use them for hunting and sporting and stuff. No, that isn't what guns are about. Or people, you know, statistics show this, you know, that people commit suicide. That isn't what it's about. It has nothing to do with the question at hand.
Yeah.
The question at hand is, can you say anything about me having a gun? And the answer is no. I can read and I can write. And I can bring it to 12 people, and I can show them. See, do you see any exceptions on here? You see anything after that period, people? Hold it right up in front of their face. And 12 of you, do you see any exception? No? Well, then you have to rule that they have no goddamn business. They can't tell me nothing about my guns or anything else protected. I mean, all of our rights, I mean, I hear that fool on the morning in the mornings over there at the Microfact talking about, you know, God given rights. Well, you couldn't list them all. Well, no. What they gave you was they gave you a procedure in the maximums where you could litigate any right, whether it's been perceived yet or not. If it comes up, well, that should be my right. That's a God-given right, I feel. Well, you take it to 12 people and you say, you bring it into the maximums, and so where you've been seized or you've been denied freedom of speech or you've been denied due process of the law in violation, that right might not even, it isn't written in the Bill of Rights, but that's how you litigate your rights. You cannot enumerate all the rights you have. It would be impossible. But that's why they gave us this procedure to litigate each and every right to come up with a just decision.
Right.
Oh, man, it is just, and then you have to go through stuff like this stuff we're reading today. And this is how far we are from, I mean, what was supposed to be, people. Did you get any more off course? I don't think so. I mean, if you took and you tried to write down the polar opposite of what this country is supposed to be, you become pretty close to what you got today. Everything's been turned 180 degrees. The people serve the government instead of the government serving the people. And that's really where it started with that 14th Amendment. You turned it all around. You made my natural rights, you called them a civil right that you're granting me. Well, that changed the whole precept right from that statement. You don't grant me nothing. I grant you. Go back and read the original documents. I didn't grant you the right to grant me anything. I grant you the right to do just a few little simple errands for me. I hired you, boy.
Yeah.
Now you're stepping up in my face.
You know, in Texas, in the state constitution, you know, it talks about, I mean, they actually wrote it into their constitution, you know, property taxes, you know, in order to, I guess, join the union, I think is what it was. I mean, how do you, you know, and it was to fund the public schools. I mean, I mean, if that's in the Constitution, I mean, how does that work? I mean, that would be, if I don't pay my property taxes, they can come and take my, you know, where I live and my ability to sustain myself. But it's actually there.
It's a violation of the Bill of Rights because it is a seizure of something that belongs to you. And did they go through a due process of laws outlined in the Bill of Rights? Were you served with a complaint? Were you allowed a compulsory process to get witnesses in your favor for and against you? Did you have a 12-person jury that decided that matter that was more than $20? You didn't. That was the protection. That's why the state could never do it, because the state could never claim a redress, you know, for a grievance. They could never claim a grievance against us because they have no interaction with us. They can say, I'd like to have it.
Go down to your Secretary of State's office, the archives, and ask for an original copy of your state constitution and read that and compare it to the one they have now.
The bottom line here is, if the Bill of Rights and common law is in place, they can't tax us. The people were never meant to be taxed. They were never supposed to tax us, and they couldn't because the Bill of Rights forbid it. It would be a seizure of property, and the only person that can seize an American national's property is another American national following the procedures. That would be a civil lawsuit or a civil crime complaint. And it has to be initiated. You have to have been damaged in some way before you. That's why they put it that way, so that every little ass-picking bureaucrat couldn't come and steal a little bit of what you were doing. They can't take anything from us. It's a violation of the Bill of Rights. When they say, you owe this tax money, that was not the procedure I read in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to get anything from an American national. We're guaranteed it. It's absolute. But, man, like I said, with them blue laws, You made an exception to the absolute, and now look at, like I said, I can just take your part of your property if I want to. Without no due process of law, you didn't do nothing to me. You didn't damage my property. You didn't damage me civilly. I want it for this over here. I think we should have these schools with your property. You see what I'm saying? You can't do it. Anyways, guys, we're at the top of the hour. In fact, we're past the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, hey, you know what? Think about Digger Dan. That is The Word from the Trenches.